fade to black. It occurs to me that the Grendel tale is premature. The players have not been brought upon the stage. Dislinear plotting and non-contiguous prose have their adherents, not the least of which am I. But in the end, my friends, it is character which wins or loses immortality upon the vellum. Haven't you ever harbored the secret thought that somewhere Huck and Jim are at this instant poling their raft down some river just beyond our reach? So much more real are they than the shoe clerk who fitted us just a forgotten day ago. At any rate, if this fucking story's to be told, you should know who's in it. So, as much as it pains me, I'll back up to begin at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was programmed in classic binary. And the Word said, "Let there be life." And so, somewhere in the Technocore vaults of my mother's estate, frozen sperm from my long-dead daddy was defrosted, set in suspension, shaken like the vanilla malts of yore, loaded into something part squirt gun, part dildo, and at the magic touch of a trigger, ejaculated into mother at a time when the moon was full and the egg was ripe. Mother didn't have to be impregnated in this barbaric fashion, of course. She could have chosen ex-utero fertilization, a male lover with a transplant of daddy's DNA, a clonal surrogate, a gene-spliced virgin birth, you name it. But as she told me later, she opened her legs to tradition. My guess is that she preferred it that way. Anyway, I was born. I was born on Earth. Old Earth. And fuck you, Lamia, if you don't believe it. We lived on Mother's estate on an island not far from the North American Preserve. Notes for Sketch of Home on Old Earth. Fragile twilights fading from violet to fuchsia to purple above the crepe paper silhouettes of trees beyond the southwest sweep of lawn. Skies as delicate as translucent china, unscarred by cloud or contrail. The pre-symphony hush of first light, followed by the cymbal crash of sunrise. Oranges and russets igniting to gold. The long, cool descent to green. Leaf shadow, shade, tendrils of cypress, weeping willow. The hushed green velvet of the glade. Mother's estate. Our estate. 1,000 acres, centered in 1,000,000 more. Lawns the size of small prairies, with grass so perfect, it beckoned a body to lie on it, to nap on its soft perfection. Noble shade trees making sundials of the earth, their shadows circling in stately procession, now mingling, now contracting to midday, finally stretching eastward with the dying of the day. Royal oak, giant elms, cottonwood and cypress and redwood and bonsai, banyan trees, lowering new trunks like smooth-sided columns in a temple roofed by sky. Willows lining carefully laid canals and haphazard streams, their hanging branches singing ancient dirges to the wind. Our house rises on a low hill, where in the winter the browning curves of lawn look like the smooth flank of some female beast, all thigh muscle and meant for speed. The house shows its centuries of accretion, a jade tower on the east courtyard catching the first light of dawn, a series of gables on the south wing, throwing triangles of shadow on the crystal conservatory at tea time. The balconies and maze of exterior stairways along the east porticos, playing Escher games with afternoon's shadows. It was after the big mistake, but before everything grew uninhabitable. Mostly, we occupied the estate during what we quaintly called periods of remission. Stretches of 10 to 18 quiet months between planet-wide spasms as the Kiev team's goddamn little black hole digested bits of the Earth's center and waited for its next feast. During the bad times, we vacationed at Uncle Koa's place out beyond the moon, on a terraformed asteroid brought there before the ouster migration.